Welcome back again, everyone, for the KPI Cafe. I'm your host, Dane Seville, Reunion Marketing's brand and PR manager and co-founder, and I am here today to talk to you about Facebook advertising. Well, not just me. I have a guest I'll be bringing on in just a moment. I like to set up the context, and really, I've been pounding the drum on behalf of Reunion Marketing about social media for like a year and a half at this point, and I got to tell you, I mean, that's the thing, is that it's important. It's more important than ever. According to Pew Research in 2019, 7 in 10 people, Americans, use Facebook. I have this cool infographic that will be linked in the show notes from Pew Research. And as you scroll down, this is as of June of 2019. So, I mean, there's a growing trend of people using Facebook. 18 to 29-year-olds, about 90%, use Facebook. 30 to 49-year-olds, 82%. 50 to 64, 69%. 65 plus, 40%. And just 8 years ago, only 7% of 65 plus used it. Only 25% of 50-64 used it. Only 44% of 30 to 49 used it. 44% to 82%. These are some big changes. Now, it's always important to never, I mean, digital marketing is not a silver bullet. And no platform, tactic, strategy, channel is going to be a silver bullet. Especially when you're not implementing really the best practices for it. You're missing a lot of opportunities when you just sort of fast track something, anything, any sort of tactic, strategy. So it's important to understand the difference between sort of a fly-by-night platform channel tactic strategy and one that has staying power. And obviously, with the growing increase of influence that Facebook has, despite everything that's going on today, it still has significant influence over shoppers. So that's why I want to talk about Facebook advertising, because at Reunion Marketing, we found that on average, most dealers were running an average of about 5 to 6 ads. Now, when you look at other major retailers, other organizations, and other industries that have a lot of inventory to turn, right? Have a lot of inventory they need to sell. There are some trends that we noticed automotive retail was missing. Now, you know, we've done some presentations regarding, you know, it's showing takeaways from Macy's and Home Depot and New York and Company. And, you know, we're not here saying you have to be Home Depot or Macy's or New York and Company, right? But there are things they do and other major retailers do to Facebook advertise. And that was really essentially built on three pillars. That's ad variety, tailored messaging, and actual inventory using your vehicles. And in the case of Home Depot, their appliances, their resources, Macy's, their clothing, their accessories, their jewelry. When you build your Facebook on those three pillars, and then of course there are other things you can do, which we're gonna talk about today. You're gonna cut your cost per clicks way down. You're gonna increase your click-through rates. You're going to get better re-engagement rates. Now, there's an analysis that we run at Reunion Marketing that demonstrates that a click isn't just a click. I'm going to get into that with our guest today. Okay, it demonstrates that, you know, as people re-engage with your website at a higher rate, when you have more people re-engaging, that indicates that ad resonated with them. So before I get into too much detail, though, today, let me introduce our guest, and that is Matt Sneed of Power Forward. So let's bring him on in. Welcome back to another KPI Cafe. I'm excited because social media is a big thing that I love to really talk about, and today I have someone who will be able to really talk and dive into the weeds with me today. Is Mr. Matt Sneed, the Director of Marketing and Customer Experience at Power Forward. Matt, thanks for joining me on the KPI Cafe.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. So combined experience in marketing, about 10 years total, not all in automotive, but now you're in automotive. Before that, public address announcer for college athletic teams, which is pretty neat. So I got to ask then, from being outside of automotive, public address announcer, how did you get into automotive itself?
Absolutely. So public address announcer and marketing back in Dallas, Fort Worth. My brother has been in the automotive industry for 15 plus years. Started off as a car salesman and worked his way up in the dealership to be a finance manager, and ultimately went to work for a consulting firm called Ethos Group. They're based out of Los Angeles, California. Income development. They do a lot of F&I products, and he was there for about 12 years. And so then he got an opportunity to become the general manager of Power Ford in May of 2017. And initially he was saying, hey, can you do this really quick? Can you do this really quick? And finally I said, hey, I'm happy to do it, but it's not really quick. And so let's continue to do this. And the next month he said, hey, come out here and go to a baseball game with me. And I came out here thinking it was just a quick vacation. And little did I know, he said, hey, let's do this thing together. And so I joined the team in August of 2017. And it's been a wild ride, but a lot of fun. And, you know, I always tell people asking the car business, I say, I'm in the marketing business. It just happened to sell cars. But I absolutely love the automotive business. It's a lot of fun.
Fantastic. So we talked a little bit about your background before we started recording. Public address announcer, was there anything that ever happened where like you, like a play or something that happened, like blew your mind and like you almost forgot to like announce it? Like there has to be something like so cool to happen. You're like, why? You're just watching. You're like, oh crap. I gotta announce this.
I'm telling you, it's, in the 10 years I did it, it is, there's so many different stories and a lot of fun. But, one of the things, probably the coolest things was when I was announcing, volleyball, would say Point Mavericks, and then the whole crowd would say Point Mavericks. And so my dream was always that the arena would be filled with 6,200 fans, and it would always, you know, Point Mavericks. And so just the thrill of the crowd, college athletics is so much fun. People are passionate about college athletics, and so being around that environment, it's fun. It was for me, more than anything, it was a release. I would have paid them to do the job, but I'm, you know, lucky for me, they actually paid me to do it. So it was a blast. Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know what, let's really just kind of dive right into it, because, you know, I was able to reach out to you because I saw your automotive news interview, and at Reunion Marketing for the past year, we were really focusing on a new social media product. I've been talking about social media for about a year now, and, you know, across like the different conferences and stuff like that. And we've been really pushing that. And then I saw your interview, and you guys have just been killing it on social media. And, you know, I definitely, you know, the Facebook ad library tool that I checked out, and I looked up Power Ford, and you, I mean, it was like, I think it was like 66 ads you launched in August, or
it goes forever.
Yeah. And you know, that's the way to do it. You guys are doing it the right way. So it seems that, from what I was reading, it seems that Power Ford was already, you guys were already on the trajectory to reallocate ad dollars from traditional media to social media, even before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like, based on the interview, like you said, like maybe like doubled down on it. Like you went all in on social media, especially whenever the pandemic hit. But before that, like I said, it seemed like you guys were already on your way towards traditional to social, making that transition. What was the catalyst behind that move?
It's a great question. So when we, when I started in August of 2017, the main thing was trying to figure out how do we market cars and how do we sell cars? I know it sounds, you know, the basic of the basic. Tom Landry would say, you know, this is the football. So how do we do that? And I knew from Amazon, you know, they do everything. They're brilliant in everything that they do. And so when you are looking for a flashlight and then you go to Facebook, 5 minutes later, you see the same flashlight that you are browsing on Amazon. And so I thought, I want to do this with cars. And so when someone goes to the website and they're looking at a Mustang, that when they go to their Facebook page, that exact same Mustang is right there, reminding them if they didn't fill out a lead, to fill out the lead, you know, whatever the case would be. And so that was how I knew I wanted to do it. But for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how to technically do it. You know, with now it's a little there's more resources out there for AIA automotive inventory ads and different things like that. But 3 years ago, there wasn't a lot of resources at the time to do it. And so I heard we were running our own Facebook ads, and then I heard a webinar with Gabrielle Garrison, who works at Facebook, and Pete Peterson, who works at Dealers United. And he mentioned about the automotive inventory ads, and he said, we can do this. Right after the webinar, I called and I said, if you can do this, you don't have to sell me on it, I'm in. And so we've had a lot of fun getting to know Pete and his team at Dealers United, and that really started it off. And so I'll stop right there. I could go on forever about that. So I'll wait for the next question. But that's how we first kind of got started in the social media game. And the why behind that, I'll say, is when we first started, we were the third largest dealer in New Mexico. The largest is actually our sister store. I'll call them our evil cousin store, because it's not like, if you don't buy a car from us, go buy a car from them. It's like, if you don't buy a car from us, you know, go buy a Chevy. Don't buy a Ford from them. I say that in with a loving heart. They're great guys over there, guys and gals. But they invest a lot more money in advertising than we were comfortable with. So it's kind of the whole Moneyball effect of, when we got here, we lost Giambi, we lost Damon, and how are we going to replace that? And so we had to significantly lower our cost per sale. And so that was the main goal, by also maintaining the same level of sales. And so that, while that can seem like a daunting task, you have to find out where you're cutting excess waste. And so when we did that, what we found is we got off television. We were never really on television, but the dealership was on television before we got here. So we scaled back TV to zero, and also went through all of our vendors and called them. And I would advise anybody to do this. Call the vendors and say, great, we're evaluating everything. Tell me why I should keep you. And the people that never called us back, we just cut them, and you can cut a lot of fat there in excess spend. But we also found that we had company A and company B, and they were doing different things, but a lot of the same things. And so again, that's excess waste. And so when you're able to do a lot of cutting and get down and where you're more lean, that's the first step in helping us get that cost per sale down. And then the other side of it is Moneyball. And we just said, social media is what we're going to do, because we're not going to be able to compete on the radio, TV, and traditional advertising like the other guys are. When I say other guys, I mean not just other Ford dealers, but every other dealer who has always done what they've always done. And so we had to kind of come up with a new way to reach those people in a more cost-effective way. And social media, and especially Facebook, is a great way to do that.
Great. Yeah. We came from Reunion. We came from the dealership side. So we were with a 33 store group in Raleigh, North Carolina before we started Reunion. So when we started this, that was like one of the big things we were touting to a lot of the dealers we were talking to when we started Reunion, was that our CEO, Dave Sponicky, was the marketing director for the group. And he was like, we're looking at television. It's like, you're paying for like this massive geo where it's like, you're like eight counties away. People are seeing your television ads. It's like, they're not going to drive from eight counties away to, unlikely. Would they? I mean, okay, maybe there are some, but I mean, the exception, not the norm, right? So it's like, okay, we're paying for these X number of thousands of people outside our geo. We're paying for X number of thousands of people that are not our demographic. So it's like, whenever they were like, oh, your advertising costs are, per person, is like, $600. And you're like, well, wait, it's way more than that, because that's not the net. We want to look at the net. We want to look at the people that are within our geo, within our demographics. Like, then it's exponentially higher, because there's all this waste and all these people that you're reaching that are not your car buyers.
Well, and they're not in the market for a car. Someone will tell me, they say, but I do think there's something to be said about the old school. When it's, hey, yeah, I saw your TV commercial the other day. You go, yeah, okay. Because when you're the GM, when people say that, just it's human nature. And so that feels good. And so you think, hey, this is working. TV is working. So we got to keep going, and we got to double down on TV because it's working. But the reality is that person's not in the market for a car. So on social media, it was kind of, we dominate in our market social media, because we just said, we're going to go all in with it. And so people would say, oh, I don't, you know, our GSM, love him to death, but he says, oh, I'm not on Facebook. I'm like, well, that's okay. Good news for us is most people are. So don't worry about it. And so what we've seen is when also video on social media, they say, they don't say this because they see it, but it's like, hey, we don't see your ad. I'm like, well, are you in the market for a car? No. Well, good. That means it's working. but then when you're in the market for a car, the best example I got is one of our partners at the Albuquerque Isotopes. He said, he reaches out to me and says, I'm in the market for a truck. And I said, awesome. And then 10 minutes later, he says, all right, this is a little crazy. And I said, what's going on? He said, I've never been to your website. And I was just talking to my boss about buying an F-150. I opened up my Facebook feed, and that's the first thing I see is one of your ads. I was like, I don't know.
Guilty as charged.
And I do know why that is. But the it's just kind of funny because, but on the TV, that's kind of the old thing is, oh, I saw your TV commercial. And you're like, yeah, you did. It's working. But that doesn't mean necessarily that it's working.
Yeah. And that with social media, what we found is that, it's like, I think the statistic is like per month, it's like 99.8% of people aren't in the market for a car, and it's like with Facebook, it's both an intent channel. So it's, you're going to hit people who are in the market for a car. It's also a stimulus channel where it's like that 0.2% or that 99.8% that's not in the market for a car, you're influencing them to, like, when they're seeing your ads, it's like you can help push more of that into the 0.2%, So it works sort of like a dual. And then, I know people can say, well, television does that too. They'll see my ads, but it's like, yeah, but Facebook's a fraction of the cost to stimulate that interest than what television is. And then you're still reaching that same audience, and you can still be more in control of different targeting options with Facebook, even with the limitations still, as opposed to television. But that's just my biased take on it.
No, and there's a lot of truth there. And, a lot of, one of the things that social media has going against it a little bit is that people would say, I love the automotive business, but there are a lot of vendors that say they can do what they can do. And then, or the OEMs will come out. So they'll say, I'm not picking on Ford Direct, but we're a Ford dealership. And so I'll use that as an example. But Ford Direct has a lot of partners. And so they'll say, great, we can put you on social media. Or Cars.com will say, we'll put you on social media. But the reality is, when you're looking at a Cars.com or Auto Trader or Edmunds or Car Gurus or all of these things, when they say, we're going to put you on social media, that's not really social media. And what I mean by that is, when Cars.com is going from their Facebook page, and so it's their logo that people are seeing, and then they're showing one of your vehicles in a carousel ad, which is where there's a ton of vehicles and you can swipe and see all the vehicles. It has a Chevy truck. It has a Ford truck. It has a Buick. It has a GMC. It has a Toyota. And then two mom and pop used car stores. And they say, well, you're on social media. And it's like, no, we're not on social media. It'd be the equivalent of me talking to a TV guy who's always on the late night local news. And I say, yeah, I'm on TV. I'm on C-SPAN and I can't get any traction. And he'd say, wait, you're on C-SPAN? Can't get any traction. You got to be here. And so that's my thing with social media is, those people can do that. Just, and you look at all the social media, but just because you're doing social media doesn't mean you're doing social media.
Yeah. And one thing too is what we always say to a lot of our dealer partners is there a place in the world for third-party sites like Auto Trader? Of course there is. I mean, there are consumers on those sites, but why would you not invest more in your own efforts? Because your website is a land of no competitors. There's no other vehicle there's no inventory on your website that's not your inventory. So yeah. Amen. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer to me, but of course, I'm also technically I'm a millennial, but yeah, it's there's no competitors on your website.
Absolutely, and I'll say also the some of the things that have made us successful with social media. Number one, if you're marketing to everybody, you're marketing to no one. So the targeting is huge, and so uploading sold lists and doing, you know, lookalike audiences or special ad audiences now with a few of the restrictions, like doing those type of things. I talked to one dealer about 2 weeks ago kind of about this, and they said, oh, I mean, aren't you worried that you're giving them your sold list? Absolutely not. And you know, most people, I mean, I get it. There is, you don't want to share all your DMS data and things like that. But the reality is, the more data that you can feed the Facebook engine, the more successful that you're going to be in unit sales, but also in lowering the cost per sold. And so the more that you can say, you know, because Facebook's aggregating all of that data. And so that if you're marketing to everyone, you're marketing to no one. But then also on the experience side of things, because I don't think you can just push out inventory ads and say, oh, we're on it, because that's like going right to the meat, but you still have to have the experience of being greeted by the friendly host, taking you to your table. Would you like a nice glass of wine? Here's an appetizer versus, oh, here's your steak and get out of here. So I think you really have to not only run those ads, but also run direct response ads that are engaging, you know, branding ads, where it's a full funnel strategy. You know, we do that. We like to have fun. We have meme videos that are ads. You can go to our ad library and you'd say, well, why are they promoting, you know, this? But it gets crazy engagement. And then with matchbacks, you can say, okay, that, you know, does it pass the DISC test? Does this sell cars? And the answer is yes. So that's why we do it. But at the last point I'll make here is, truly make a point if you're going to go full digital, you have to make a point to make quality content. And that is so key. I know there's a lot of companies out there where it is expensive to hire your own staff photographer, or, you know, the OEM says we have a brand new product. It's all computer generated. They look beautiful. As soon as it leaves the plant, it's going to show. It's a virtual thing. It's amazing. Virtual's come a long way, but I still think there's something to be said about seeing the actual vehicle. But that doesn't mean walking out there with your cell phone and snapping a bunch of less than good pictures and then posting a bunch of, I'll call it garbage on the image where it says, Hometown Motors, 555-123-1234. And they put that on there, and then there's so many, you know, best dealer and this and that. It just, you know, when you confuse, you lose, versus they're here to look at cars, show the car. And so, you know, taking quality content and not just relying on a third party company to do 15 photos, and they take the great front photo, but then photo two, you see a chain link fence in the background, a tree that hasn't been trimmed in 8 months. So taking quality content of all of your, you know, your pictures and making sure that it's super quality and holding your photographer to that standard and say, we're going to do it like this. And if we're not going to do it like this, then this probably isn't the place for you to be. Yeah. I know it seems harsh, but it's like, if you're going to go all in on this, you need to make it an immersive experience and not just say, well, I tried social media. It's not just about putting it out there. It's got to be quality, because otherwise you're just paying to say, if you don't care about this, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything. If you don't care about this, what else are you missing at the dealership level?
There have been two. That's great. I like your style, Matt. I got to tell you, I like your outlook on things. There's been two things I've noticed that are trending in automotive retail, just from my conversations with people. One, that is quality over quantity, and that's not just even a digital market. That's even in the BDC. I've been talking to a lot of BDC directors where they're like, they're getting away from it being like a call center. You know, it's like. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't want to be treated like, you know, I am by AT&T. Like, I want to get with someone on the phone and I can tell they're trying to get me through the process as quickly as possible to just get to the next caller. And so the same in digital marketing, quality over quantity. And the second thing is, and I think you could also speak to this too, is that, you know, we used to always say content is king. Well, it's not that content necessarily isn't king anymore. It's relevance is king. You want to have relevant, the content should be relevant to the buyer's intent and expectations and needs. And Facebook, I think, especially, and I think because based on the Facebook ad library, I believe you're running carousel ads, it looked like, because it said multiple versions of the ad. Mm-hmm. And people are finicky shoppers, right? It's like, if you were segmenting out and you just did an ad like, Ford F-150 and you have, you know, a static image of like a white Ford F-150. Well, some people don't like white vehicles, right? So whenever you do the carousel ad, you're giving them the options to scroll through inventory and be like, they're like, I'm looking, I want a black truck. And they scroll through it, and then there's the black Ford F-150. And it's like, that's the one for me. So you want to create that relevance.
Absolutely. And so with that, when they're scrolling, but they're also engaging and they're telling Facebook that there is automatically, and they can get put into another ad set of retargeting and different things like that. And so on those carousel ads, as soon as they click that black F-150, they would go right to the BDP page. It would load. And then now they're on our website. They're seeing everything. You know, that's the main goal, is to get them. You know, a lot of people go back and forth on this, but get them to the website. That's what, in this particular instance, that's what we're trying to do. And then Facebook recently came out with Click to Marketplace, which they're rolling that out right now, where when you say click that F-150, that it would open up even quicker. It kind of, Google had what they would call an AMP page, where it loads really fast, and that really never took off in the automotive industry. But when they click to marketplace, is when they click it, then it'll open up that vehicle right in their marketplace listing. And so it'll load faster, it's native on Facebook. And so it'll be interesting to see how that takes off. I think it'll be super successful. And one of the things recently we talked to Facebook about is, increasing the number of photos that you were able to upload. So I guess a lot of dealerships will do like a standard 15 or 16 pictures, which would make sense, because if you're going to take a dealer specialties or something like that, that's what they're going to do. But it doesn't work for me. And so we take a lot more photos than that. And so by getting, saying, hey, fantastic. You know, because we were getting a lot of comments to say, hey, can we see some, they would engage with us via messenger things and say, do you have any photos inside of the car? Now, that's because of the first 16 images were only pictures of the outside of the car, and they couldn't get to it. So trying to work with them to make more pictures, and so they can click all of the pictures of that vehicle. And so it's, carousel ads are definitely the way to go. It's engaging, it's colorful, it's beautiful. And if you're not running them, you're really missing out.
So I actually, it kind of begs a question for me to ask you, and this is sort of an impromptu question just based on the conversation here. You know, they see the ad, and there is the potential that, you know, they're on Facebook, even if, whether or not they click through, if they have a question, they can just, you know, they can go right to your actual dealership Facebook page. Do you manage that? Like if a chat on Facebook comes through a messenger, are you guys managing it, or do you work with someone who manages that? Or is that even happening with your dealership?
Great question. So we have a BDC, and they field all incoming leads through our CRM. So if it's a third party lead, or if it's a Facebook lead or anything, that it all goes through the CRM. And so then our BDC would reach out. We use a platform on our website called Podium, and Podium does a lot of things, but one of the things they do is web chat. And so basically it just enables a web chat on the back end. So if you message us via our website or Facebook Messenger, it would go right in there. And then our BDC is responsible for responding to those. And they do it, you know, Johnny on the spot, they're right there and they're engaging with them. I think the challenge, now, yes, there is a cost to the BDC, and I understand that. And so it's for this discussion, we won't talk about that. But what I mean by this is there's a lot of companies that would say, well, you know, Gubbagoo is going to answer this, or, you know, Better Cart, you know, third party vendors, offsite BDCs, they're going to handle it. But that offsite company doesn't know your brand, and they don't know how you talk to customers. They don't know the friendliness that they talk to customers, or if you're cheeky or things like that. They don't know your brand. And so it's a matter of if you, and that's the first impression that you're setting at the dealership. And so the offsite BDC, if they're what you were talking about earlier and going, get to the appointment, get to the appointment, get to the appointment. It's like, hey, I get it. I'm going to eat my steak, but can you just give me two warm-up questions before you ask right away? You know, it's like, you know, do you want to get married? Or can we go on a date first? Come on. So a lot of those things is, you know, and we're huge on brand. And so a lot of our, I'll get to that in a second, but it's just more you can be consistent with your branding. So when you see an Apple ad, you know, it's Apple. When you see a Nike ad, you know, it's Nike. Same thing with Chick-fil-A, they're all super consistent. Southwest Airlines, so you don't even have to really know that it's them, but as soon as you see it, you know it's them. And there's something to be said about that. And so what we try to do here is every interaction that you have with one of our employees is the same pitch and tone, the same friendliness of the voice. It's the same brand that's speaking to you versus, oh, we've got this company doing this, this company doing this, this company runs our social, this company runs our B2C. And you do that and it's just, there's so much confusion because it's not cohesive and you cannot outsource your brand. That's like, that's the biggest cardinal sin in my opinion.
Yeah. As an English writing major and someone who cut his teeth in writing advertising copy, hear someone talk about tone of voice gives me goosebumps. Like, I'm like, yes, that's it. Yes, tone of voice, that consistency that, you know, from engaging with your ads to coming to your website to there should just be consistency in terms of how you're presenting yourself. And there seems to be a lot of dealers out there, unfortunately, that are disjointed. And I don't know if that's from using a number of too many different vendors or if it's just from not understanding tone of voice and that sort of concept. But I like hearing you talk about that.
Yeah. It just makes a world of difference. And, I get an inspiration honestly from, I think Wendy's has a phenomenal Twitter account. I think they're but they made their brand, their social media brand off of engaging with customers in a fun and cheeky way. And so some of our ads are the same way. And so when someone comments on an ad or comments on something, if it's in your mind, if it's less than good, don't hide it right away. Don't ban that person right away. Engage with them. There's nothing more satisfying than turning around a less than good experience to a great experience. Like that is the ultimate. And you can do that when you have conversations on social media, but also there's definitely the trolls out there that will comment on ads and make a goofy experience. They'll say something, sarcastic, that's whatever. But again, I'll encourage you not to hide those. Our strategy with some of that is we respond to 100% of those and we respond with gifts. Because gifts can say it's fun, it's lighthearted. You can say something in a gift that you probably, if you said it just in the text, it wouldn't really hold true. And so when someone, I can't think of any examples right now, but just the whole Elmo, when someone's, I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
My HomePod turns on music at 7 in the morning and starts playing. But there's a Elmo gif of who knows, and he kind of throws his hands up in the air. Or there's a one of a woman, and she's like, "Really?" And so you can post those things, and you can kind of hit them back a little bit. And the best is when they like the gif, and you can kind of go back and forth, and it makes it fun. And there's not been one experience that I've had on in responding to those where it's turned into a negative situation. But again, that's the brand that we've encountered that we've made for ourselves on social media. And so that's what we're doing, but period. And I'll just say that, is it a lot of work to sit there and say, man, you manage all those comments and, we're not Nike, and so do we get 100 comments a day? No. Do we get 10 comments a day? Maybe. Uh-huh. On average, do we get 5? You have time to manage 5 comments a day. And little things like that. So it's a lot of things. We'd say, well, man, that's a lot of work. Who does all that? You have to find someone that, if you're a GM out there listening to this, you have to find someone who you trust to do it, and then kind of go with it, and it'll be successful for you.
First, I'm going to be a little controversial here. I'm glad you're a GIF guy.
Yeah.
I like, because people say GIF. No, it's,
GIF. It's got to be GIF. It's got to be GIF.
And so I think I love the way you're, it's sort of like the reputation management. I like that approach of take that negativity head on. And it's that, I'll tell you what, I've encountered, you know, not dealerships, but just in general, brands that when I've had businesses, when I've had a bad experience, when they went out of their way to correct it, I'm a much more vocal brand evangelist for them. Wow. Than companies that just kind of give me a good experience. Maybe it's a little screwed up, but it's like, I'm like, they went out of their way to address my issue, my concern, my comment. I'm like, I like these guys.
Right. Yeah. And that's so true. And it all goes to the overall experience of what you're doing. And so your online brand reputation, your ads, it all has to be consistent, and you're creating an experience online. But you have to create a great experience online to get them to come to your dealership first, then going to another dealership. But once they get to the dealership, that in-store experience has to match the online experience. And those have to be cohesive and be successful. And that's, if you're looking at certain potholes that could trip you up as a dealer, that's one of them.
Absolutely. So you've been running these campaigns now for a while. Like I said, I saw 66 ads launch in August, maybe even a couple more. You still had some running from July too. So it wasn't just, you didn't have to have 66, you had more than that actively running, but launched 66 in August. So to you, and you kind of hit on some of this, you know, you have the GIF ads, you know, kind of create that humor, and I mean, who doesn't like a good laugh? You know, that's a great way to build rapport with consumers. You have your inventory ads. I saw I believe it was whenever I was looking at the Facebook ad tool with your dealership, it was like some sort of like birthday theme sort of thing. I think the girl had like a hat on. It's like, it's your birthday. Come get, you know, here's the deal that you get. So to you, what does a full, robust Facebook advertising campaign look like?
So I don't think we have 2.5 hours. So I'll try to pare it down to, a 1-2 minute answer. The cool thing about that is, you know, Facebook has an immense amount of data on all of us. And so they know when it's your birthday. How do they know that? Because you told them when you signed up for the profile and you said, hey, my birthday's on November 25th. And so that ad that you refer to only shows to people during their birthday month. And so it's not like an all the time ad where it says happy birthday. It is an all the time ad, but it only shows to customers when it's their birthday. So it's a timely ad. So it's like, so that's kind of neat how they do that. A robust, you know, when video is important. I think people watch videos. I think they're engaging, but you have to make the video for social media and not say, well, we ran a 30-second TV spot. We'll put that on social media and call it a day. So you need to create the content for the native platform. But if you're doing a F-150 video, and that's an 18-second video, you can sit there and tell Facebook that if they watch 75% of this, that means they're probably interested in trucks. And so now I want to put that person in a new ad funnel, and now I want to show them carousel ads of F-150s. So that's just one little branch off the massive tree that versus going, I'm just going to shoot out automotive inventory ads to everybody. Well, you probably still see a little bit of success with that, but you're not going to see the most success if you are more targeted in the aspect of showing them this and then showing them this, or if they engage with this, they can get put into another ad audience. We also run, so we take advantage of co-op dollars on the sales side of things, and we use that for social media. Now we also invest more monies than just co-op in Facebook. And then on the service side of things, we'll also run service campaign ads and use some quick lane co-op for that. But and in addition, we'll put more into it. But and it's different funnels. And so what I mean by that is, and you can run a thank you for choosing us ad and run that only to customers that bought a vehicle from you last month. And so that basically just says, hey, we see you. Thank you for doing this. Now that doesn't have to be, you don't have to allocate a lot of resources to that to hit those people, but you can. Where it says thank you, or on the service side of things that you're gonna do your loyal customers just like you would with your mailers and things like that. If you're doing loyal customers, that's one ad set. And if you're doing lost customers, that's another ad set. And so you talk about a full funnel strategy, there's a lot of different layers that you can go down. And right now you're probably going, oh my gosh, Matt, I'm just trying to get one Facebook ad up. I don't even know what you're talking about. So I'll tell you, this is 2.5 years in the making. So it doesn't happen overnight. And if you have questions, you should definitely get with a trusted, we don't have a lot of vendors. We have very few partners. And I would encourage people to find a great partner. And so if that's Reunion Marketing, yes. If that's Dealers United, yes. If that's Ford Direct, yes. But the more you can go all in with a few, then you can really grow together versus I've got this, and this, and they're all kind of all over the place.
Absolutely. No. And with the thank you ads, do you do any sort of like then follow up, like reminder of service or anything? Or in that thank you ad, is it like, hey, 3,000 miles, you're going to need to come in for an oil change. Like, don't forget about us.
Yeah. So the initial one is just the thank you for buying a car. I hope you love it. And that would only run for August. It's only running for the people in July, and then those will fall off, and then we'll do in September, we'll say thank you to the August buyers. That's just like that. But in the service campaign ads, we will run schedule your service today. And we'll start running those to, those are all the time ads, but they're running to people that bought a car between 4 and 7 months ago. And then they kind of cycle in and cycle out of that. And so, then if they start clicking on those specific service ads, then they get retargeted with more service ads until they ultimately come in. And then we won't show those ads to those people anymore because it's not relevant. And that's, it goes back to the whole TV thing we were talking about earlier, where, wouldn't it be neat on TV if they can only show commercials to people that are in the market for a car, and then when they bought a car, you'd stop showing that ad? We're not there yet, but I know there are very smart people at Amazon and Google and Facebook that are trying to figure that out right now.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of TV too. I mean, as people switch to like programmatic media, and you have your Netflix and Hulus and stuff, it's like it seems to me that if you're prepared with social media and you understand social media and programmatic media now, you're better prepared for whenever all these television networks really just go all in on their own apps and platforms.
And yes, 100%. And that's going to be interesting as we continue to evolve in that way. The Peacock network has got and things like that. They're all coming out with their own streaming services. And so it'll definitely be interesting. And YouTube, I love YouTube TV. I think it's the greatest thing ever. You get live channels, and so they're kind of like a streaming cable network. But, it's talking about people who know things about you, start off as a search engine, and then they, came up with their own browser, and they do a lot of other things, but now they have your TV. So they're following you around everywhere you go. They know what you like, what you watch. And so then they can start hitting you with those type of ads. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves over the course of a couple of years.
Awesome. And, and just thinking of some other things I noticed that I really liked. I saw it looked like you used some actual staff in some ads, like in images, highlight value propositions. I like that you guys use a lot of second person pronouns. I like a lot of you, your. I mean, there are studies out there that show that, second and first person pronouns help increase click-through rates and engagement rates. Like, and so like get your test drive, get my test drive does even better. But get your test drive does even better than just take a test drive. So I love that you're using that second person pronouns, humor video, customer testimonial, safety, at home test drives. You guys are partnered with, they might be competitors of ours, but you guys are partnered with someone who's pretty good.
Yeah. And so they do a phenomenal job, and we dabble in our own Facebook ads too. And so, I do that because I want to stay current with what's going on. And so also to hold people accountable. I love those guys to death. And, they're one of our, we have basically three partners with the whole dealership. And one's F&I, and then we have two advertising partners, and Dealers United is one of those, and they do a phenomenal job. So that's enough talking about them. I won't pump them up anymore. But I'll say that, one of the things in social media that I would encourage dealers to do is so important is to highlight your dealer distinctives in the ad copy. So for us, we offer a 100,000-mile warranty on every vehicle, new and pre-owned. Other Ford dealerships only offer the 5-year 60. Complimentary maintenance and roadside assistance. And so you could say, well, complimentary maintenance is through Ford Pass Rewards. Every Ford dealer gets that. You may be correct, and you are correct, but the reality is not every dealership is talking about it. And so if you're not talking about it, you're not educating the customers that that is what you're offering. So we do, we use emojis in the ad copy where it's clean, like a checklist, 100,000 mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, roadside assistance. Find your ride, boom, right here. Versus, you know, you're talking about this, the you and the your. It's so true, words matter in the ad copy versus browse our inventory. And so what the reality is, it's like, browse my inventory. Help me become the number one dealer. Nobody cares about helping you become the number one Ford dealer. Nobody cares about how large your inventory is. Nobody cares. So stop talking and bragging about how great you are and focus on the customer's problem. They need a vehicle, get your test drive, you know, and I'm going to share about what you get here as a Power Ford experience versus what you're not going to get at the other guys. And no, I know for a fact that most dealers aren't doing that. And so just doing that small adjustment will make a major impact on your bottom line.
Yeah. So I have a question that I'm going to kind of meander my way through to get to it. Yeah. But so dealers have a lot of first party data. I mean, dealers have a lot of data themselves based on historical sales, you know, whether it's, you know, month to month, year to year, whatever, whatever. With your ads, with your inventory ads, do you run all of your models all the time? Or do you leverage, like, let's say this is going to be hypothetical, so you can speak to more concrete example if there is one. Let's say from May through July, and I mean, I know F-150s like sell like gangbusters all the time, but let's just say like May through July, F-150 sales are like 60% higher than the rest of the year. Do you focus on certain models different times of year? Do you allocate more budget for certain models at different times of year based on historical sales data? Or is it just sort of just, you're kind of just pushing them all out through their different buckets and audiences all the time?
Great question. And so what we do is the AIA automotive inventory ads, those are dynamic and those run all the time. So therefore, if on our website you're looking at Mustangs, then you're going to see a carousel ad of Mustangs. Like, that's individualized to you and specific to you. Do we push certain vehicle model lines? Absolutely. So Ford puts, but it's not necessarily based on, like you're right, F-150s are going to sell all the time. Ford Rangers are going to sell all the time. You know, then you have your SUVs that, you know, sell more than, you know, the Ford Flex, which we just sold the last one. Praise Jesus. That's what I'm hearing. But you're going to sell those more frequently. But it's not necessarily based on historical data as it is driven by the incentives of what Ford is offering. So if, because you look at historical data and you say, man, last year we sold a lot of Escapes in August. Well, maybe that's because Ford Motor Company was putting $4,000 in incentives on the Escapes. And so therefore you sold a lot of Escapes last August. Doesn't mean that, all of a sudden, all the teachers were going back to school and they realized that they had to have more rooms. They went to an Escape. It's really based on incentives. And so, or if Ford Motor Company will dangle a carrot out that says, hey, you know, you need to hit this certain objective on an F-150, then we'll do that as well. But it's really based on the incentives that certain month. And so we'll do F-150s if it's more, but you can definitely do that. And then in the first carousel image, we'll highlight a graphic that shows the incentive. And then after that, those are all F-150s. And then we're targeting that ad to specific F-150 buyers, whether that is through our own first party data, which is very successful, but then we'll also run the same ad and use Oracle, IHS, and bulk data.
Great, yeah. We give our partners the option to layer on Oracle data to just give you that extra layer of targeting. If you want to opt into that, I mean, there's still enough to create those audiences and buckets, but it definitely helps.
And you should. And here's why, because on the service side of things that we were talking about earlier is you could, through Oracle data, you can conquest and say, okay, great. I want to show these service ads to, you know, different ad sets here. One is to loyal customers. One is to conquesting service customers. So then you could, you know, upload your sold list, and then you go out and use the Oracle data to say, great, I want to target people that own a Ford but didn't buy from us. And so then you're targeting that ad to only people that own a Ford but they didn't buy from you. And so if you can, you know, go get them and get them into your service department, and then you can start marketing to them and ultimately converting them to a sale.
Absolutely. And I liked what you referenced before, like that sort of, I love the one-to-one retargeting. So, you know, they come to your website and then they can get retargeted on Facebook with at the ads of the actual inventory they were just looking at in similar vehicles, which is just, absolutely, to me, not being a tech guy and just knowing that that's a possibility is just, is crazy to me.
Yeah. It's cool and awesome. And, it's been one of our secret sauces. The more, going back to experience and creating a personalized experience for the customer and showing one-to-one ads on Facebook of what you just shop, it's kind of a reminder of that. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. And the other cool thing is too, I'm sure you're aware of it, but a lot of people that might be listening might not be, is that, you know, with Reunion, we update the inventory feed 4 times a day through like the API. So it's like, there's never a vehicle in the ad that is not available at the dealership, which is just so cool.
That is so cool. And that's a distinctive. And so for you, continue to highlight that, because that does make a huge difference. The more that you update that inventory feed, because you never want to show a vehicle and then someone inquires about it and you go, oh yeah, that sold a few days ago. And it doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
So kudos to you guys for doing that.
Yeah. And it's just, if Facebook has just tremendous capabilities, as you know, clearly. And so talking about all this, all these different things, retargeting, the types of different ads that you run, all these things. So here's really the crux of it. How do you measure that it's working?
So great question. It is like, you know, drum roll, please. Da, 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 da. I know that it's working. How I know it's working is, one of the best things that we like to do is Facebook offers a sales matchback. And so looking at that sales matchback and running it, we do that very quickly. And so in talking with a few partners, you know, it's like the day that our, you know, we close out, the business office closes out, and so that the month of August is done, I'm going to upload that sold list, Johnny on the spot that day, and then we'll give Facebook a few days to kind of collect that data and go find those people. And then it comes back with, these are the ads that it shows you how many sales you generated from Facebook ads the previous month. And then it even goes so granular as to say which ads caused that person to either click it, or, you know, and how fast they did it, like the 1, 7, and 28-day attribution. I don't mean to go too far off into the weeds here if someone doesn't know what I'm talking about, but the sales matchbacks from Facebook provides an immense amount of great data that you're able to look at. And then if you want to, which you should, go in and more granular to figure out which ads are working. And if it's not working, then don't allocate resources to that ad and stop running it and double down on the ads that are, again, goes back to the DISC test of, does this sell cars? And then you kind of double down on that. And after the course of time, you can really start to do it. So that's how we do it. And then also I look at and say, great, we invested X number of dollars in Facebook last month. We sold X number of units from Facebook. What's our cost per sold unit? And that's how we kind of look at that and go from there. And so it's, it'll show you if somebody clicked the ad, it'll show you if somebody viewed the ad, which is really nice. And that's one of the advantages that they have versus, a third party site, because, you know, a third party site, unless they submit a lead on there, and they come in and they buy, that's great. But if they just see that, purple F-150 on cars.com, they come in and buy it, there's no way to ever, if they don't submit a lead on cars.com, there's no way for cars.com to get that attribution. Facebook does that. And so that's how we kind of tell sales matchbacks and then cost per sale.
Awesome. And one of the things too that we do at Reunion is that, you know, there's so many channels that people can engage with your dealership. You know, you and anyone listening that works in dealership knows that better even than I do. But, you know, attribution is sort of a tricky thing. And so one of the things that we do, in addition to all what you were talking about, we run a report in Google Analytics called a cohort analysis. and then allows you to see what shoppers came back to the re-engage with the website from the day that they clicked, then like week one after, week two after, week three after. And the way that you guys are doing your Facebook ads is very similar to the way that we run them. I mean, we have our dealers run, you know, 50 plus ads, you know, per, you know, sort of campaign and everything. And so what we notice is when dealers switch from, you know, running an average 5 to 6 ads to running those 50 plus, you get 3 to 4 times the number of people who click through an ad coming back to your website when you do it the robust big way, as opposed to just the standard 5 to 6 ads.
Very interesting. That's great that you guys do that. And it's so true. We've seen, for us, when we go into our Google Analytics account and looking at that, Facebook is by far the number one driver of traffic for us. And I won't even tell you the number because you wouldn't believe me. And so it's intricate to our entire strategy of how we do things. We do, you know, some with Google and things like that, but the percentage of our investment in Google versus investment in Facebook is, again, most dealers would say, no, he's lying, but it would be the 5-6%.
So just some final thoughts from you. So we've had some dealers, there's one in a dealer group in North Carolina that it was like pulling teeth, but we got them to fully sort of like separate from traditional media and go all in on digital media and all in on digital marketing. For any, and it would sound more trustworthy coming from a dealer than a vendor, a digital marketing vendor. For any dealers that have that lump in their throat going, gulp, I don't know if I could make this pivot. Any final thoughts for them to just say like, hey, like, believe me, this is the way to go.
So in 2017, we had a sales effectiveness of 79. And last month, our sales effectiveness was 124. So I tell you that, and it's not all social media that makes that happen, but it plays a huge and tremendous part into that. I would bet the farm on it. And so if you're struggling with it, I would just say, you know, I love, you have to go all in with it. And if you're a little nervous about it, I would say you just try to get over that and try to go all in with it. Talk to your GM, and most, it's so robust that we're talking about this in a full funnel strategy and whatnot, that realistically, it's going to be very difficult for one person at your dealership to do it. And regardless of what your general manager says about going, well, I'm sure you can figure this out. The reason they're doing that is because they care about the bottom line. But when you talk to them, if a company is going to charge you X number of dollars as an investment to run it, the reality is you're going to get at least a 10X return. But if you're going to, you have to go all in. So if you say, well, we tried Facebook and we invested, you know, $3,000 in it, you're not even going to make a dent. So you really need to really look at what you're spending and cut where you can cut. And naturally, I know that's a little scary because you're like, well, we have to keep selling cars. And if we get off car gurus, I mean, we're down 10 units last month, had to be car gurus. And that's not the case. And so go all in with Facebook. And the worst case scenario is you do it for 90 days and, you know, it's less than successful, then you can go right back to going back to cars.com, car gurus, auto trader, you know, get right back on the TV, on the radio, all those type of things. But I tell you that, but I promise you it's not going to happen. So definitely go all in with it, find a trusted advisor, hold them accountable, be all in with it and do it. And it'll be the greatest thing you ever did. And the best part about it is, in a year, when you get your annual review from the general manager, he'll be like, wow, you crushed it last year. And you can say, great. You know, we run $3,000 a copy. And, you know, how much additional revenue did we generate from this? And so, you know, that's a long-winded answer, but I got to tell you, you got to go all in with it. You got to go all in with it. And you'll be so glad that you did. You really will.
Excellent. go all in with it. And that is, I think, a public announcer. That'd be like a great, like, go all in with it. That'd be a great close.
Absolutely. Go all in with it. And, you know, experiment and have some fun with it. You have all the tools and resources at your disposal, reunion marketing. And so go for it. And, you know, best of luck and success.
Awesome. Mr. Matt Snead, thanks so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed the discussion, and I know that a lot of people get a lot of value out of this. So thank you so much for spending some time today.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me. If you have any questions, reach out.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thanks so much for joining us, and I will see you next time.